We each have one vote, but we can each mobilize hundreds of votes. Find out how next on Gospel of Life. Hello, I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. I'm joined by Janet Moran, our Associate Director, and we are moving closer to Election Day, as you well know. We each have one vote, but we can each mobilize hundreds, even thousands of votes if we tune in to the ways that we can best do that. And Janet, there are multiple ways that we can do that.
Well, first of all, we have to zero in on when Election Day is, because you'll be just surprised how many people it goes right out of their mind. They don't even realize Election Day is coming. Mm-hmm. So the first thing is start talking about it. Say, you know, this is the date, this is when the election is, and then start talking about the importance of this election. Remind everybody the advances Christians have made in the last few election cycles, both for life and family issues, mm-hmm. and how critical the elections are right now. Well, we're just one seat away on the Supreme Court from possibly overturning Roe v. Wade, and we know there's federal courts all over the country that are either upholding the sanctity of marriage or letting them have gay marriage, you know, homosexual unions. So these are important issues that Christians need to show up and be counted for at the polls.
This year, the election day is Tuesday, November the 7th, and we should mark it on our calendars very clearly right now.
Right now, that's right.
In our computer programs, put an alert so that there is it beeps or it sends us a message or it tells us on election day.
Be ready to vote. Family calendar on the refrigerator. Get out a red pencil or marker and circle it right now.
That's the first thing. I urge people to take the day off on election day, and the reason is that you can spend that day getting other people to the polls.
That's right.
Your friends, people in your prayer groups, Bible studies, pro-life organizations. Some people just need a little reminder. If you've reminded yourself, go ahead and remind others. Mm-hmm. And I say to people, you know, on election day, they should be calling their friends and saying, Jim, you remember it's election day, you're going to go vote today, right? And Jim says, yes, I'm going to vote later on. Well, when later on comes, you call him again. Hey, Jim, did you vote? And maybe he's going to say, oh, it slipped my mind, or I got a flat tire. Oh, well, Jim, you need a ride to the polls. I'll come right over.
That's right.
That's the approach we need to take. And this way here, we are extending the power of our one vote because we're getting others.
That's right. And besides just rides to the polls, what about young mothers who have a lot of small children at home? They might find that a very big obstacle to kind of dress all the kids and drag them down to vote. Mm-hmm. Why don't you just offer, you know what, I'll watch the kids for how long does it take? Go vote and come back. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get a lot more people to vote that way.
Now, in some states, there is what we call early voting.
That's right.
And what this means is that even if you're not going to be away on Election Day, even if you're not homebound, these certain states give you the opportunity to vote a matter of days, even a couple of weeks in some cases, prior to Election Day. On our website at gospeloflife.com, we have the information on which states allow early voting and when that early voting begins. We want to urge our viewers to take advantage of early voting, because if you vote early, there's less likelihood that something is going to get in the way of you being able to cast your vote on Election Day. Sometimes we get sick, we get car trouble, bad weather, who knows what could happen, or we just forget. Vote early, and you're not only able to secure your vote more readily, but also, again, it gives you a span of time to be mobilizing lots of other people.
And don't forget to get maybe an absentee ballot for those who can't get to the polls. We're talking about senior citizens who might be homebound, might be in a nursing home. Maybe you have students who are away at college. Make sure all these people get an absentee ballot and they are represented.
Mm-hmm. It's critically important. Now, on our website, gospellife.com, we do have a special link to our political website, politicalresponsibility.org. Again, there are suggestions there, ideas there about how to multiply the influence that you can have. We have the prayer campaign.
That's right.
That people can sign up and say a daily prayer that we've prepared for our national elections. And on that website, they can tell us that they're saying it. Secondly, we have our educational resource, Voting with a Clear Conscience and 10 Easy Steps. And this, of course, gives people some of the principles of voting. One of those principles I want to talk about here in a moment in a little bit more detail. But thirdly, then, on the website, there's an online form that people can fill out indicating what kind of volunteer activities they may want to do. And among those volunteer activities would be driving people to the polls, as you mentioned. Maybe someone needs their children to be watched. Or the distribution of literature, especially during the days once voting starts in a particular state. You know, you want to be able to give out literature about the issues, right, about the candidates. And this has a tremendous effect.
And, you know, people might be saying, well, it's only October, you know, and, oh, Election Day is until November. But it's now that we need to hear from you that you're available to help, especially what they call that last 72 hours before the election. But we can't wait till then to know that you want to help. We need to know now so we can get your names to the people who are out there in your community. You may not even know who they are, but they're looking right now for people to sign up that are going to be willing in those final days of the election to do literature distribution to help elect the pro-life candidates.
Let's talk about how close many elections are, because sometimes, you know, we have right now, the people who are watching this program right now are numerous enough to sway the course of many, many elections. More elections are very, very close than we imagine. And who can forget, of course, in the year 2000, how close our presidential election was.
Right.
The number of people in one state that determined the outcome of that election was smaller than most Sunday congregations in a single church. It was just an amazing thing.
And I know two cases, Father. One was in Texas and the other was in Pennsylvania. It was the size of a church choir, just the choir alone, that made the difference in a pro-life candidate getting into office or not. So, you know, sometimes people think of elections, like you're saying, in big, big numbers. But sometimes it's just a handful of people that make all the difference in the world.
It can be the number of people on a single individual's email list.
That's right.
That make the difference in a major election.
And that's the other thing people can be doing right now is, you know, you have all the people in your email list. Make a little to-do list for them on the things we're telling them on their program. And send at the end of this program, send an email out right now to all your friends and begin alerting them to the things we're telling them right now.
And give them the link to politicalresponsibility.org so they can sign up for the prayer campaign. They can get the voting booklet. They can sign up as volunteers. Now, the principle I mentioned earlier that I wanted to refer to is the principle of the low-hanging fruit. Now, what this means, very simply this. If you had an hour to gather as much fruit as you could from trees, let's say oranges, And you went in among those trees and you started gathering that fruit. If you have to gather as many as you can in the space of an hour, you're not going to start climbing to the top of the trees and get the oranges that are way up there.
No.
You're just going to get the ones that are within easy reach because it's going to take less time and less energy to get more.
That's right.
Elections are very much like that because they're all about how many people vote for each candidate. So that you are, if you're working to get the right kind of candidates in office, you're talking about gathering the greatest number of votes in the smallest amount of time. We have limited time, limited energy. So what are you going to do? You're going to go for the low-hanging fruit. In other words, you're going to cultivate and gather those votes that are easiest to get. Now, here's what people are tempted to do sometimes. They're tempted to try to convert, you know, one person that they know who's going to vote the wrong way or who disagrees with them on the issues. And they'll say, wouldn't it be great if I could convince this person to vote the right way? And it might take hours of conversation. You might not even convince them. And even if you do, it's great. You've got a personal victory, but you got one vote for the candidate. We've got to be less concerned about getting personal victories and more concerned about getting victory for the candidate. Right. And the way we get victory for the candidate is get as many votes as possible. And that means, instead of going to the person who doesn't agree with you on the issue, go to the person who does. And make sure that they are registered and that they are ready and that on election day they get to the polls. And if there's early voting, that they get to the polls early. Remind people, nudge them, urge them, and help them to actually do what it is that they agree with you about and make sure they vote for those candidates.
That's right. And, you know, you can also try to talk to people who just aren't even paying attention, who are going to church with you. You know, chances are people who are going to church are not going to be too hard to convince. that they need, how important to vote. Mm-hmm. And you need to talk to those people also that are just kind of in the middle and not sure. And you know, so many people don't even pay attention to who the candidates are. And that's why they really need to do their homework before Election Day to know who are the candidates that are going to vote correctly when it comes to issues of life and family. And they've got to do that homework ahead of time.
Getting the positions of candidates is something that is can sometimes be tricky. I mean, first of all, we do have on our website some information about this. Again, at politicalresponsibility.org, you'll see information on certain candidates. But what are some of the things people can do? You get hold of these voter guides. There are various organizations that exist that give information on the candidates. Sometimes churches do, and churches are allowed to do this within certain parameters as long as it's a nonpartisan voter guide, but very often they don't. You have to go to other organizations. There are certain pro-life organizations, pro-family groups that will tell you where the candidates stand on the issues that those groups advocate. And beyond that, you look at the internet, you know, and search for the candidate's name, and you'll see the candidates have their websites,
that's
of course,
right.
But then look at who has endorsed that candidate. That's a very important indicator, too, of where they stand on these various issues. Another indicator is if the candidate has already held elected office and is already a legislator.
You want to look at their voting record.
The voting record is public information.
That's right.
And again, our website tells them how to get it. How did they vote on particular bills that deal with the issues that you're concerned about? Well, that's a great indication of
right.
where that candidate stands.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of candidates right now realize that there's been the Christians are showing up more, you know, values voters. And so there's a lot of candidates who, while they don't vote correctly, right before the election, they begin to sound a little bit more modern on abortion, like they're not so bad. They try to fool everybody with a lot of rhetoric. And it's the voting rhetoric that really tells their true colors.
It sure does. Well, we're going to listen to Karen Cross now, just for a couple of minutes. Karen is from National Right to Life, she is their political director, and she's got some advice and some experiences to share with us. So let's listen for a moment to Karen Cross.
Pro-life people, citizens, are passionate already about the issue, and it's a matter of letting them know which candidates are pro-life. For instance, the candidates who support a ban on partial birth abortion and support parents' right to know, that sort of thing. And which candidates, for instance, Emily's List candidates who support abortion for any reason all 9 months of pregnancy, who oppose bans on partial birth abortion, and who believe that our tax dollars, your tax dollars and mine, should be used for abortion. And it's a matter of letting them know, I believe, which candidates they would support and which ones are the bad guys. Well, there are so many things they can be doing now. They can volunteer for some of the state right to life offices, for instance, to do some of the activities that might come up in the fall. Register to vote. That's kind of a key, is to have people register to vote. I know we did a voter registration in our church, and I didn't expect much. It's a small church, but 15 people registered to vote that day. That's one little church. That included my pastor and his wife, who weren't registered to vote because they'd moved from another town to this one, and so therefore weren't registered and hadn't gotten down to the courthouse. So it makes it simple. Legal to do, you know, churches can do this, and it's a simple little activity. They have to find out their state laws. I know in some states it doesn't have to be notarized. It's simple to do at a church. And if 15 people in that church and 15 people in another, say 10 churches, you have 150 people registered. And many races, I know a race in Texas 2 years ago, a congressional race that was won, the pro-lifer won by 58 votes. I saw races recently where by 1/100th of a percent, the pro-life candidate won. That turned out to be about one person out of every 8 precincts. So registering 15 people here and 25 people there can make a huge difference in a race. Don't take anyone for granted. Just make sure all your friends are out there. Get out the vote. Take people to the polls if necessary, if they can't get out, if you know someone who's not able. And in some states, there's early voting. So you have maybe even a 3 week or a month period where you can actually get people to the polls to vote, get them to the courthouse to vote. Just knowing your state law and finding out whether you have that.
Well, we're very grateful to Karen and to the National Right to Life Committee. And Janet, the as Election Day comes closer, as we've said, people really need to focus in, and we want them to put aside as many activities as they can between now and Election Day, and just focus on getting the maximum results here, because this is something that has so many long-term implications that it's worth every hour of time, every amount of energy that we can give to it.
That's right. I mean, just the successes we've had thus far, if you look at the last few election cycles, in 2004, by reelecting a pro-life president, well, we now got two good conservative nominations. You know, people are sitting now on the Supreme Court. We've had a few more pro-life judges, conservative judges, appointed to federal judge positions. So, you know, we are making progress. We've gained a few more seats, both in the House and the Senate. This is all done because Christians showed up at the polls. But now we have a lot more things that are being log-jammed, you know, in Congress, sitting in committees. We need some more pro-life people to tip the balance even further if we're really going to continue this push in the correct direction.
And we're saying this because the very purpose of government is the protection of life.
That's
we're
right.
Not looking at this as one issue. We're looking at this as the heart and core of every issue. It would be wrong to think that we are unaware of or unconcerned about the variety and the multitude of issues. Why is an issue in the first place if it doesn't pertain to human life? And if the state can't protect human life, and if a politician can't respect the life of a baby, how is he supposed to respect yours and mine? How is the state, in fact, supposed to hold together if it doesn't recognize that life is something it can't not tamper with?
That's
it's
right.
Beyond the scope of its authority. There are some kinds of candidates who recognize that. There are some kind of candidates who don't. And those who don't recognize the very purpose of government don't belong in government. It's as simple as that.
That's right. They should be disqualified. We need to vote them out of office.
Well, thanks very much, Janet, for the things that you're helping our people to do. And brothers and sisters, once again, I'd like to refer you to our website, politicalresponsibility.org. You'll find articles there talking about how the electoral process works. You'll find information about what kind of issues we use to evaluate candidates. You'll find moral guidance. What happens, for example, if none of the candidates seem to be very acceptable? Well, in those cases, you can vote for the better of the two, even though the one you're voting for doesn't come up to certain moral standards. You vote for the better of the candidates that are available and that have a likelihood of winning the election. Because remember, one of them is going to get into office. So the question is not, are we choosing the perfect candidate? The question is, are we using our influence to limit the evil? That's not choosing the lesser of two evils. It's choosing to lessen evil. Whenever there's evil, we always have the right and the duty to reduce it as much as possible. So sure, we're always going to be dissatisfied with candidates that are up for election. But the point of the matter is, we all have a voice. We all have a vote. We all have an influence. Let's take the situation as it is and let us move it as far as we possibly can in the right direction. We're ready to help you in your own communities, in your own pro-life groups, in your own churches, to be as active and effective as you can. Remain in contact with us, especially between now and Election Day. And once again, politicalresponsibility.org is your one-stop location on the Internet to get all this information that you need. Stay with us now. After this break, we will go to our action segment.
I want to be a teacher.
I want to be president of the United States.
I want to find a cure for cancer.
The choice to have an abortion alters the course of the future. Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
Hello, this is Father Frank Pavone. The Church has a critical role to play in elections. The Church does not set up the voting booths, but rather prepares Christians to enter those voting booths and to use the power of the vote to advance the culture of life. The Church does not write the laws, but rather bears witness to the truth of God to which those laws must conform. The mission of the Church does shape politics and has something to say to politics about the sacred obligation we all have to protect human life and human rights. These gifts come from God, not government. And the Church's faithfulness to God requires that she speak up, challenge candidates, motivate voters, and renew the face of the earth. This is Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Priests for Life.
When I found out I was pregnant, I thought I would lose my job.
My boyfriend told me to choose between him and the baby.
I was already struggling to care for one child. So I had an abortion.
I had trouble conceiving again.
I tried to commit suicide.
I started to have nightmares.
You see, abortion didn't solve our problems.
It just created different ones.
That's why we are silent no more.
We found help in healing, and you can too. Call or go online today.
The single most important activity, the one most effective that we have found for people to do to advance the pro-life message, is to help and challenge people to look at what an abortion actually looks like by showing them the pictures of the aborted babies.
That's right. You know, the word abortion has lost all meaning in society, and so that's why we need to show these images. As you always say, Father, America will not reject abortion until America sees abortion. While we can't rely on the media to show the most common surgical procedure in the United States, we can't rely on them to show that on TV, we have to challenge people to look at these images of what an abortion is.
So we're going to ask people to do something very simple. On our website at gospeloflife.com/images, there are galleries of these photos. What we're asking people to do is, by way of their emails, by way of their publications, by way of just speaking to other people one-on-one, challenge people to go to that link and look at those images, especially if it's somebody that says he or she is pro-choice.
Right.
Say, look, take a look at the choice that you're saying you agree with, and then let's come back and talk.
Right. Let's make sure we're talking about the same thing,
right,
or you know what the choice really represents.
Right.
And when they go to that website, I'd first like to encourage them to look at the unborn child. We have beautiful images of that unborn child. See the humanity of that unborn child, and then look to see what abortion does to destroy that child.
Yes.
The contrast is just unforgettable. It'll really make you realize how damaging, how wrong abortion really is.
Well, and for those that are not convinced about how these images do change people's minds, we have a sampling on our website of the numerous testimonies that we've received from email and from letters of people who have, in fact, changed their minds. They have all kinds of emails coming through that say, oh, I was pro-choice until I came across these pictures, and now I'm 100% pro-life. Or people who say, well, I was always pro-life, but once I saw these pictures, I decided I wasn't doing enough about it. So now I want to get more engaged. It is really, really powerful. Now, young people, especially going into internet discussion rooms, for example, or just sending out to their friends by email, can make this a project. To say, I want to get as many as people as possible to go to these pictures and look at them.
And it can be very simple. To every email message you send out, why not put that little challenge as a footer?
As a footer,
that's
yes.
There with every message, challenging
yes.
people to go and see the images.
And if you have a website, make a link to those pictures and say, here's a pro-life challenge. Take a look at these pictures and then tell us what you think about abortion.
That's right. Now, in addition to the unborn child images and the same child being aborted, we also have pictures of the actual procedure, both the first and second trimester procedure. And these are pictures that are not done by our organization or some other pro-life organization. These diagrams were done by a medical professional company called
right.
Nucleus Medical Arts.
Yes.
They do the diagrams for textbooks for surgeons,
right.
for medical schools, for
right.
people who are studying procedures.
And for lawyers in when they have to present in court, about a medical
That's
procedure.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're going to talk about, abortion, you know, well, I wouldn't want it being in late terms, but I think in the first trimester a woman should have a right to have an abortion. I challenge you to go up there and look at the diagram. See what a first trimester abortion is. See how it tears that child apart and see the invasive procedure that is being performed on that woman, and then see, are you still in favor of that choice?
Because we know that in other movements, when the horror of slavery or child labor or segregation was being exposed, people used the pictures to expose the violence and make the victim visible.
Again, go to gospeloflife.com/images and do it today.
Thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us on this program. And we need your help to support this kind of work. If you like what we're doing and you enjoy these programs, consider sending us a donation at Gospel of Life. We'll appreciate that, and so will the babies whose lives will be saved thanks to your generosity. We're also grateful to our friends at Life Dynamics for making this program possible. We use their studios, and their staff helps us in the production. And we also ask you to be in contact with us. Send us your questions. Tell us what you're doing together, and God bless you.
The decision to have an abortion not only affects that moment in your life.
Kristen Gordon.
It affects many precious moments to come.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
In every election, there are many issues to consider. Yet unless people can first be born, there are no issues and no people to talk about them. Every right depends on the right to life. No election issue is more important than abortion. If our children are not secure, neither is our future. This is Father Frank Pavone, Director of Priests for Life.
It's positive. I'm pregnant.
My boyfriend panicked,
and I was worried what my family would say.
I just didn't know what to do.
If you're facing an unplanned pregnancy, you have options. You don't have to be alone. Call 1-800-395-HELP. Our services are totally confidential and free. If you're pregnant, call now. There is help.
Friends, as we conclude our program, may I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell other people about Gospel of Life. Tell them when these programs air so that they can tune in and learn more about the pro-life movement. Secondly, we like to hear from you. On our website, gospeloflife.com, you can even send us your prayer requests, and our entire ministry team will be more than happy to lift up your concerns and intentions before the throne of God. Thirdly, we're eager and ready to come to your community, to preach in your churches, to gather with your pro-life groups, and to help inspire you in the pro-life cause. And finally, we ask you to donate so that we can keep these programs on the air. You can send your tax-deductible contributions to us at Gospel of Life Ministries. Again, go to our website, and thank you.